What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the founder of Loop Community and the host of the Worship Fuel Show. Today, I have a very special guest, a good friend of mine. He used to live in Chicago, which is where I live, and we used to get coffee all the time and hang out, and I miss talking to this guy, and it's Patrick Mayberry, worship leader, songwriter, artist. He's written a lot of songs you've probably heard on Air One, on the radio, K-Love, Breakthrough Miracle Power, Lead On, Good Shepherd, so many more. We're going to talk about his new EP, too, that came out. And so looking forward to this conversation with him. So what are we waiting for? Let's go ahead and bring in Patrick Mayberry.
Looking for affordable, high-quality resources for your church? Check out the app lineup from Worship Tools. You can build sleek service presentations in Presenter, schedule volunteers to those services in Planning, access chord charts and other worship materials in Music Stand, and manage church attendee information with Community.
What's up, Patrick?
Look at me and you on here.
Look at us. All fancy, too. You look great, Patrick. I like the mustache.
Well, I was going to ask you what you're thinking about being for Halloween.
I already know. Dude, I've got a Olaf costume that blows up. And it, like, so I'm 5'9", and this costume is about 7 feet tall. And it's a giant Olaf costume, inflatable. That's and when incredible. I put it on, last year when I put it on, I couldn't really wear it for that long because my kids panicked and like freaked out and were really scared by it. So this year I'm hoping it works out okay.
You're hoping to
what about you?
The night?
Yeah.
Well, I have a couple of ideas. The mustache is kind of, I think it would be really cool to be a Magnum PI, like the Tom Selleck, like 80s Magnum PI. And that feels real doable.
Yeah.
It's like a Hawaiian shirt and some jeans. But so that's why I kind of thought I would see if the mustache could go for a minute. But I also, every year, I have this desire to wear like a leather biker jacket and leather pants and a black t-shirt and spike my hair up and wear black sunglasses and be Arnold Schwarzenegger from Terminator.
That would be epic, man. You could pull that off too.
And I would say, come with me if you want to live.
Man, so. you would definitely pull that off.
Who knows?
So, gosh, man, I mean, I've seen you a few times, but it's been over since we've had you on the show.
No way.
There was a window that we're on there a couple times in a year.
That's right.
And
yep,
it's been...
Yep.
In 2 years now. And
you
so
know, we've been busy.
Yeah. What in the world have you been up to the last 2 years? Because a lot has changed. You moved.
Oh, man.
I don't even know if you lived in Nashville. Well, I think you did live in Nashville last time we talked. Maybe you had just moved,
though. I
think I did.
Because I think I was on my back porch when we talked. Man, I've just been raising my family and... trying to figure out how to be a good worship pastor and be a good husband and be a good dad. And I've been writing a lot of songs and really have been traveling more than I ever have traveled in my whole life, especially the last 3 or 4 months. And it's been a lot of fun. And I'm just really grateful, really grateful to God for just being way cooler than I ever imagined he was.
Yeah. Is it hard to do that with kids? I can't even imagine.
My wife is like the most rock star of rock stars, and she's totally bought in on what we're doing and just seeing this as like, this is what God has called me into and called our family into. Yeah. But it is hard, like, and just sad, like being away from your kids. And my kids are at such fun ages right now that whenever I'm not with them, it feels a little bit like lost time. So, yeah, just trusting God and getting to see a lot of really cool fruit in this season.
You mentioned that you're trying to be a good worship pastor as well. Are you on staff at a church now, or are you kind of, what's that look like for you?
Yeah, for the last, I guess a little over a year and a half, I've been helping out with our church in Franklin, Tennessee, which is, it's called Church of the City. And it's been a blast, man. Yep.
Did you know that Darren and I used to work together at Willow?
No way. Well, that makes sense.
The reason I came to Chicago was Willow Creek. I was leading worship there, and Darren was a pastor there at that time.
Love that. Yeah,
that's a great, man. That's awesome. You're at a great church. That's really great.
Yeah, it's fun, and just so many of our friends are here, and so much of our community. We live just down the street, and it's fun. Like, so many people in music that I will travel with go to church here. And so it's been really sweet, and people get it. People get the life of kind of being in and out. Cause you're in Texas one weekend, and then the next weekend I'm back this weekend. So it's been great.
Yeah. So you released your new EP, Give It Back. Give us a snapshot. Like, tell us about it. Where'd that come from? And what is it? Like, is it live, right?
Yeah. So, my thing that I've always loved is worship on a Sunday. And I love leading a band and leading with a band and leading people. And, my heart, I think I would always choose, I think I would probably choose live over studio any day. And we just have, we had a bunch of songs that I'd written over the last few years and just really felt like the Lord was kind of like lining it up for it to be possible for us to record. And it's always been a dream of mine. And so I wanted to do it all, like it was all friendship. And so all my buddies played on it and we recorded it at a buddy's studio and invited a whole bunch of friends from church. And we just had just a night of worship, and we tried to keep it as real and raw as possible. And, so many live things you hear now are just like, you know, all re-recorded in a studio, which is awesome. I'm not knocking that, but I just wanted to do like the most like real, raw, approachable thing. And, I think we pulled it off. I mean, we definitely got in there and, you know, edited stuff. My vocal is just, I perfectly sang it. No, I'm kidding.
Did you retrack all your vocals?
No, I did. I re-sang three phrases because you couldn't understand what I was saying. But the vocal is all real, and there's lots of cymbal bleed in them. And everything is like from the night. And I feel like we walked the line of doing something that's really, for lack of better terms, like competitive in the world of music, but it also is just really live and raw and kind of in your face. And I'm really proud of how it turned out. My buddy Jacob Arnold, who played drums on it, was kind of the mastermind behind the production. And I'm so pumped that it's out. It came out on Friday, and three of the songs were previously recorded. The song Holy Spirit Come, and this other song that I did with Worship Together called The God You Are, and then another song called What My Father's Like that I did on another church album, and then two new songs, a song called Jesus Is Enough, and then the title track Give It Back. So yeah, dude, it's really fun, and I'm so proud of it and glad that it's out in the world, and really hope that the songs can minister to people. And what's cool about like worship recordings, and for anybody that might watch this and you're on the fence about a worship recording with your church, it's neat because God was really present in the room that night, but I think that God can be just as present when someone's listening to these songs in 6 months driving in their car. And I just think that's kind of a wild thing about music is you can, you know, God's not confined to just this one live recording, but the hope is that the songs would be shared and spread and someone would stumble upon it on a playlist and they can experience God right wherever they are, whenever they are, 10 years from now, have a real intimate transformational experience with God. And so, I think that's a cool thing about when churches record music is you're capturing something that God can use for years and years and years to come.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. What's your favorite song on there that you think is just going to be great for churches to sing?
Oh, man. I don't know. I love them all. They're all just unapologetically like church band songs. And
yeah,
I'm partial to, I mean, they're all fun. I think Give It Back is really sweet and different. And it feels like a joyful, it's the idea of kind of Romans 12, like in view of God's mercies, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your spiritual act of worship. The idea that in view of God's mercies, God gives, and so we respond. Yeah. And so kind of just, it's a response song of all the good and all the things that God has done in our life. What choice do we have other than just to respond and give it all back to him? So I'm excited to see that song. There's a song that it's funny because when you do a project, you'll get this. You have your song that you want to be everybody's favorite. And then everybody has their opinion of, no, this is the song. And so everybody seems to love the song Jesus Is Enough. And I love that song so much. But in my head, I'm like, no, I won't give it back to be everybody's favorite. But people are loving the song Jesus Is Enough. And it'll just be cool to see,
yeah,
you know, over the next couple of years where the songs find their ways. I think that's the coolest thing about worship songs, right, is like you hear these crazy stories about, oh my gosh, I heard this song, you know, on the other side of the continent, on the other side of the globe for all sense and purposes, and it just can take years, you know. But I think it's so cool, the power of songs.
It can take, and you never know. Like a couple of years from now, like a song is found on an album, and worship leaders just eat it up. I was even thinking about something like "Holy Forever," which is a massive song, right? Huge. I remember when I first heard it, like 3 years, I can't remember when it came out. Gosh, time is like time warp. But I remember like it was released. It was an awesome song, but like it didn't catch like fire until like about a year later. It took about a year for it to like get momentum. And now everybody has done a recording of it and every church is singing it. Like, you know, it takes time. And you never, I mean, that one obviously is like a church song. That's meant for a church to sing.
It's almost like this like discipline, faithfulness of just showing up and obviously seeking God at every turn of the writing process and being a good steward of how you release it. But ultimately it's the Lord's going to do what he wants to do with a song. And so it's like kind of our responsibility just to do our best up to a certain point. And then we just have to release the results and just see what God does.
Yeah. And then God's just like, that song, I want the world to sing that one, and blows it across the world.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. So you've had seasons of being a worship pastor, seasons of being an artist, and now I guess you're an artist and worship pastor. Like, what would you tell a worship leader who, you know, feels stuck or is struggling with the current season they're in? Whatever season that is, they're just like, man, something just doesn't feel right. Or I just feel, I don't know, maybe it's just complacent or just not motivated or just kind of feeling like burnt out. Maybe not burnt out. I don't want to use the word burnt out because I feel like that's just overused, but like, just kind of like, gosh, God, is this all you've got for me? Mm-hmm. What would you tell worship leaders maybe asking that kind of question? Like, man, is this it? Like, is this, they're in that kind of place.
Real practically, you should definitely go on a vacation. Like, you should go, if use due diligence here, but you should go sit down with your pastor and say, hey man, this is just how I'm feeling. And I think I need to like get away with my spouse or my family or whatever, and just kind of like dream for a minute. And so I'm going to take my vacation days and go away for a week and just refresh. Cause I found with me, I can get so upside down when I'm just like redlining it. And, when I'm not rested or my soul is exhausted or I'm just coming out of a heavy ministry season, especially, you know, everybody's kind of ramping up for Christmas now. And, it's just like, I think God knew what he was doing when he gave us like a Sabbath, and there's like rhythms of how we should operate, and especially in the creative space or in the pastoral space. And so, making sure you're like caring for yourself, would be my first thought, because I don't think you can have a clear view of yourself or your ministry when you're exhausted or when you're, cause you get jaded. I'll speak for myself. I get jaded. I get just bitter. I get like, I can get into comparison really bad. And what it does is it's like all the good gifts that God has given you and all the things God is doing through you and in your ministry, you can just completely diminish them. And it's almost kind of like you're saying, well, what God's doing here isn't as good as that person. And I do that often when I've found that when I get really, really like, and I'm not just saying like tired, go take a nap. I'm just saying like you've poured out and you've poured out and you've dreamed and you've dreamed and you've poured into people and you've done 9 million services. You just got to rest. And then it's out of that rest. I have this theory that for me, it's like rest leads to like true rest, not just like a quick nap, but rest leads to boredom, and boredom leads to restlessness, and then restlessness leads to like new innovation and mm-hmm. wanting to hear a new vision from God. And that's a thing that like I've like kind of clung to. It's like, oh, I don't have any new ideas. It's and then for me, it starts with I need to rest. And then when I get to the other side of rest, I tend to get bored, and I don't feel like we ever get bored anymore as humans, because we have our phones, we have social media. There's just so much vying for our attention, and just the days of like getting in a car and driving for 3 hours and you're just like, there's nothing to do but listen to the radio. Like those days don't exist anymore. And so I have to find ways to like almost get bored to where I don't have anything going on. And then out of that, it's like I start to get this restlessness to be like, oh, like it, and it's, I see it as like it's all a process and I can't get to one step until I've done the other. And then when I get to this restlessness state, it's like, okay, God, like what do you want me to hear? I don't think you want me to stay in this state of boredom or rest boredom. But what do you want me to hear? What are we dreaming up next? And then it starts to birth these new ideas and these new innovations. And that took me a handful of years to figure out. But so for any, and that's, you know, maybe speaking a little bit to the creative side, but I think just as much to the pastoral side. And so for anybody who's in that spot of, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Patrick, what you just said makes me think of that Bible verse in John, I think. It's like, you know, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it dies. You know, if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. That like there is something about like putting like the redlining to death in a way, be bored. And there is life. There is something that comes out of that. There is fruit that comes from, you know, not pushing so hard. It just made me think of that scripture when you were talking.
Yeah, and just not treating things as urgency all the time. And my wife said something to me the other day. I was like kind of freaking out about something, and I needed her to like hurry up or something. And she said, your urgency is not my emergency. And I was like, that's the funniest statement. Like, it sounds like a pastor trying to write a kitschy statement, but it's so true. And so often in church world, we can fall into that of like someone just, you feel this sense of like urgency. We've got to plan this. We've got to do this. It's got to be bigger and better. And it can just make you go crazy. And so I think just finding seasons of pulling away and rest and being with the Lord and asking God what he's up to and what is next. It's also like just emotes a sense of trust of like, I can take my hand off the plow for a minute, knowing that I need to like realign and rehear what God is saying and what God is, where he's leading the vision. It's kind of like Jesus being asleep in the boat when the storm came, like he wasn't freaking out. That he was able to rest. And so Jesus got a way to rest. And so I think that's just a huge thing I found for me that's been really beneficial. And I've started to pick up on telltale signs of when I can tell, oh yeah, I'm going a little too hard. I need to pull back. And I get a little crispy around the edges and real impatient and just, you know, start judging the good that God is doing in other people's lives. And being like, why is that happening for me? And I'm like, oh, buddy, you're not in a good spot here. So that totally doesn't answer your question, but I felt like that's where the Lord was leading.
No, it does. Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's a really good. So if someone can't take a vacation, maybe what does that look like? Maybe just like turning off your phone and taking a one day, do nothing, like a Sabbath. That's why the Sabbath is so important.
Yeah, taking a Sabbath, and there's so much power like in community. Like, let's say you're a worship pastor and you're kind of the only person on staff at your church in the worship capacity. Like, reach out to some other worship leader pastors in your town, in your area, and just be like, hey, can we go to lunch? And there's so much power in just, I don't want to use the word commiserating, but it's the best going to lunch with someone who's in the same role as you at another church, and you're not there to bash anybody or trash talk or gossip, but you literally, you get it. You both get it. We get that pastors have last minute big ideas, or we get that volunteers sometimes don't get the vision, or they don't care about being on time, or, you know, there's just something really powerful about being able to have a friend or friendships of other worship leaders and worship pastors, just to be in community with, be able to pray for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. That's all very, very good advice. That's for real. Yeah. So there's a question on here that I feel like we talk about a lot with people, and I want to tweak it differently, because the question is basically like, what would you tell a worship leader that has, you know, started songwriting and wants to release their own music? And that question I think has just been talked about so much. Let's tweak it a little bit, because I'd be curious to hear your perspective on this, because you did that. Like you were grinding. When I knew you in Chicago at Soul City, like you were grinding, you were songwriting, you were producing you were producing your own music, I believe.
Yeah.
Releasing music with the church. And, you know, you were wanting to like kind of end up doing what you're doing now, I believe. And what would you say to worship leaders who like for years have been songwriting, trying to release music, maybe releasing music, maybe not, And it just feels like the dream is dead. There was a dream there and it's not happening. Doesn't come to fruition. Because I think there's a lot of worship leaders in that spot. It's not just like, hey, they want to start songwrite and start releasing their own music. Maybe they've done it and it just feels like it's just not happening. What would you say to that? What do you think?
Oh man, I don't like that question.
That is a hard one, isn't it? I threw a hard ball at you, Patrick, but just because I know that you know it. You understand, kind of like you were just talking about having lunch with a worship leader. Like you get worship leaders, you get what's going through their minds. You get these people who want to songwrite, want to release music, want to maybe have a song on the radio, want to tour, but it just never happens. It never comes to fruition.
I was sitting with a friend yesterday who was a pastor for probably 30 years and kind of stepped away from pastoring, and he lives in Nashville now and he's been pursuing songwriting, and he's the neatest, freest person that I've been around in years. And I said something to him yesterday. I was like, you know what I've noticed about you? When we hang out, you don't have an agenda. Like you never have an agenda. You just want to be here. And he's like, I just think that he's in his 60s. And he's like, you know, I think that's what God's called me into. And he said for the longest time, he wanted to move to Nashville and be the guy. And he wanted to be like this voice and this personality that people look to. And he's just like, I just don't think that's me. I don't think that's what God has for me right now. And I hope this connects, but he's written more songs for other people that are like totally impacting people. And he's writing songs and they're going viral on Instagram. And he's not singing them, but he carries a perspective that the 18-year-old girl singing it does not necessarily carry. She gets glimpses of the perspective, but he's walked through it. And so he can write songs about redemption and the mercy of God that an 18-year-old just can't quite grasp. One day they will, but he's 65 and he just has walked through valleys that nobody else has walked through. That's, you know, he's just got his own story to tell. And he's a fascinating dude. But I sat there with him and I thought there will come a time when, you know, I'm not the guy leading worship anymore, because I don't need to be, because there'll be somebody younger and better and more talented than me. But you know what my job will be? My job will be to teach them everything that I know. And to to teach them about reading Matt Redman's Face Down when I was in college, to teach them about here's why I say this from the stage and I don't say that. Here's why I say, hey, turn and greet 45 people instead of, hey, turn and greet someone. I'm like, nobody cares about that. But if you make it funny, people are like, oh, that's fun. Like, I like being here and it helps worship for the next Sunday. And, you know, just all the little things that you and I have learned from years and years and years of studying other worship leaders and just leading rehearsals. And, oh, I can be 10 minutes late on a Sunday, but if I am, here is all the things that happen that affect the culture for the whole team for the next 5 years. And so I think to answer your question, there's nothing that hurts worse than wanting something so bad. And I'll specifically say to want to write songs and want to tour and want to put records out, and it doesn't happen. Like that just hurts and it sucks. Like that's hard. And if that's you, like, there's like, I'm sorry. Like, that is like, I would die. Like, I've had seasons where that's not been my story, and I can't attest to anything other than just like some luck that it's worked out for me. Cause I don't want to say it's God's favor, because God has immense favor on whoever's listening to this. Like, I didn't follow God any better than you are. I probably followed him worse. But I would just say encouragement, like, don't write yourself off. If you love the craft of songwriting, but it's just, maybe you're not the voice on the radio, because maybe it's the young kid next to you that has been, you know, showing up to your ministry, but you get to help that kid write songs because you've seen God in different ways than he has. And you've walked through some serious storms in your life, in your marriage, in your ministry that kid hasn't yet. And now it's like, maybe the roles are turning to where, you know, I just think maybe it's because I'm getting old, but I'm like, man, we need more and more and more old people, seasoned people in ministry, especially in worship ministry. And it's like, you know, get in on Instagram and posting a clip and it going viral is cool. And I want that to happen. I would love for that to happen to me. But a 20-year-old posting a clip on Instagram about God's faithfulness and it going viral is amazing. And God uses that. And that 20-year-old knows God's faithfulness. But you and I, we know God's faithfulness as almost 40-year-old dudes. A 60-year-old knows God's faithfulness as a 60-year-old. And it's just different levels. It's like, the deeper you get, the further you get into life and years, life is hard. Horrible, bad things happen. Things that we would never dream or imagine happen because we live in a broken world. But time and time again, it's like, I didn't know I was going to see God's faithfulness through my parents getting really sick. And that's been a whole hard season of life. But it still hurts, but I'm seeing God be faithful in a new way. And it's like deepening the well. And it's like, so it's changed my songwriting and it's changed my theology and it's changed how I lead worship. And, you know, my buddy at church who's 20 and he's a talented dude and he's just so kind and he's just an upstanding young gentleman. He doesn't know God like that yet. And I believe that he will, but it's my job as a worship pastor, as a minister, like for the sake of the gospel and the church moving forward, like I don't want to hoard my gifts. They were all given to me, one by God. And then two, I learned it all from watching Matt Redmond or watching Chris Tomlin or watching Christian Stanfill or Cody Carnes or Phil or Brandon. And so they're not mine. And so I just, it's my job. It's our job to start giving them away. And if they win, the church wins.
Yeah.
And that's like how I want to view it. Like, I don't know, but you gotta, it's hard to die to yourself, especially when you want it so bad. Like that's just, that's a pain that, there's nothing I can say that alleviates that pain.
Yeah.
Especially, it's just the music, you know, the music and all, that's what we want, you know?
Yeah, right. And it's a tale as old as time as well. You know, I think it probably, athletes feel the same thing. You know, they grow up their whole life thinking they're going to be an NBA basketball player and then they don't make the cut. And now they're a realtor or something. And they're like, what am I doing? You know, I was supposed to be an NBA player.
Yeah,
man. Well, that was a curveball question. And I think that there's a lot of gold in there. Thank you for answering that. We only have a few more minutes left, but I want to ask you one final question. Give us just a peek behind the curtain of like, what is just a normal day or week look like for you? Like when you wake up in the morning, are you the breakfast guy in the morning? Are you making all the kids breakfast or are you Like, are you doing school drop off or like, what does a day look like for you typically?
All the things. Okay. So typical day. Yeah.
Do you wake up early?
I mean, so my daughter is in middle school and her school starts at 7:00 and then our boys are in elementary school and they start at 8:00. So my wife has started grad school and my wife goes to school on Mondays and Tuesdays. So she has to get into Nashville. So she takes our daughter early in the morning and then she goes to her class, my wife. And then I get my boys, we all ride bikes to their school because their school's in our neighborhood. And then I get them dropped off. For a minute, I was trying to run for my health, to be a healthy human.
Yeah.
And I feel like I did that for about 4 days, but I still like to say for a while I was trying to run.
That's what happens to me too.
My days are all
you get going for a few days and then it's over.
Right?
Yep.
You know, I love going to coffee with people and I love hanging out with young songwriters and young artists. Today I'm at my church office and I'm bebopping around here doing some stuff. So I have a little studio space and sometimes I'm over there songwriting or tracking vocals for some demo. And then some days I'm just gone. I'm not even here and I miss out on all the fun stuff of life and making dinner with my family and shuttling my kids to soccer practice because I'm in some town playing some random worship thing. So it's a fun season of life and it's very all over the place. I feel like I know what I'm doing the next hour and that's about it. And that's anything more than that is too much brain capacity to keep.
I know. I feel the same way. My wife was giving me a hard time yesterday. Actually, she was saying, you just live like day to day. You just go like day by day because I like literally will wake up and I'm like, okay, wait, what's happening today? Yeah. See you, man. Bye. All right, you guys. Great interview with Patrick Mayberry. Sorry about the internet issues there at the end, but man, I just love always talking with him and such a good friend and humble guy who just loves the church, loves worship leaders and songwriting. And he's just, as long as I've known him, he's just so passionate and passionate about, he like just doesn't phone anything in, whether it's leading worship or whatever he's doing, songwriting. And I just really appreciate that about him. So thank you, Patrick. Go listen to his latest EP on Apple Music, Spotify. Get the tracks on Loop Community and hit the subscribe button. Hope to see you next time on the Worship Fuel Show.